Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today. And as always, if you want to call in and ask some questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. We'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. And tonight, we're going to talk about Bob Arum says the Pacquiao-Crawford fight is now dead. We'll tell you why that may mean trouble for the Fury-Joshua fight. And Felix Verdejo is in some hot water, and we'll tell you all about that. But first, we get started with Omar Juarez, our special guest here tonight. Omar, how are you doing, man?
Very good, brother. Very good.
All right. All right, man. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. So you're now 11-0, five knockouts. Tell us about your last fight. Your last fight really surprised me, I'll be honest with you, against Elias Araujo. This really surprised me in the sense that, like, I figured you would win. No question. I thought you were going to win. But I think it's the way you won that surprised me. This guy had a lot of experience coming out of the gate. You completely dominated that fight. At least from my perspective, when I watched that fight, obviously when you're in there, it may not feel like that. It may feel a lot closer because you're getting hit, you know. But from an outside perspective, as I'm looking at that fight, that was a dominant performance right there. Tell me a little about that and how you were able to do that.
Nah, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man.
Nah, it was ever since I saw that, I was actually supposed to fight this fighter, somebody else, but I was supposed to fight him like in February.
Mm-hmm.
And then a storm had hit Texas. We ended up not fighting. So I was doing all my studying on pressure fighters, basically. So luckily, when they swapped our opponent to this particular fighter from Argentina, I saw they're both pressure fighters. So I knew if I'm 100%, I know I'll be able to pick this guy apart. He'll probably get a couple of punches in, but he's going to get them, you know, when all the leverage is off, or I'll probably roll with the punch. You know, I knew I was going to get hit no matter what, but there's a way to get hit as well. And there's a way to, you know, counter punch inside the pocket. I knew my abilities, and I told myself, I'm 100%, you know, this guy's not going to do anything to me. But it was more of just self-confidence, you know, believing in myself. And we had a really good training camp. I left no stone unturned. And it was a good experience, very good experience.
How long do you train for a fight like that? As far as, like, say your last fight coming in. I mean, what's like, your average camp now?
Well, man, it's been changing, you know, drastically, because I only had two eight-rounders, and right after that, we went straight to 10. And even when I was at four, I did maybe four-rounders. I did one six-rounder, and I went straight to eight. So they've been switching every now and then. But for the most part, that's the thing. You know, I'm very dedicated inside the ring, outside the ring. So I try to stay, you know, below 15 pounds of my weight, try to stay as active as possible, even try different forms of physical activity, such as yoga, swimming, stuff like that. Stuff as long as I'm, you know, active, I think I'll be good. But really, for this training camp, I was there for about 2 months and a half.
Gotcha. And so, like, you know, what was the reaction after your win here? Were people surprised by this, or were, you know, I mean, because like I said, I mean, again, man, I you were stepping up in competition. As far as, like I said, when I saw those guys, like his record and everything like that, he's got a lot of experience. A lot of experience, and just the way you handled him, I think that was just like, wow. What was the reaction after that fight?
Yeah, a lot of people. We got a lot of calls before the fight, actually. I mean, at the end of the day, I like to say that, I mean, this is a famous quote that I heard a long time ago, but at the end of the day, people are fuel. And a lot of people were doubting me, saying that, you know, I shouldn't take the fight. It's going to be a very tough fight. I'm not ready for the opposition. But I told my team, I know I'm ready. So we just stuck to the game plan, hit and not get hit. But we definitely did get a lot of people that were surprised.
That's great, man.
Oh, Omar, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of fighters haven't been active, but you've been steady active. 2020, you had like 4 fights.
Yes, sir.
How were you able to stay so active? Were you pushing PBC to get your fights? Were you on the horn with them saying, hey, get me the fights, I'm ready, I can go as many times as you want? And you know, you had a fight in December and you were right back in there in April. Talk about that.
Well, I knew that as soon as things started to close down.
Yeah, we might have lost his connection here. Let's see here. See if we can get him back here. Let's give him a minute. See if we can come back on here. Some
tough sometimes when you're on the go there. You're in the
exactly.
If you're dependent on Wi-Fi, sometimes it's kind of glitchy.
Yeah, sometimes it's kind of glitchy. Sometimes it's tiring. We'll see if we can get him back on here. In just a second here. Meantime, I guess while we're waiting, this was his first 10-rounder, I think. This was his first 10-round fight, I believe, Omar.
It was his first 10-rounder,
yeah. Yeah, and I tell you what, man, he really did impress, man. That was one of those guys. Like I said, we expected him to win. I didn't expect him to win like that. It was a dominant, dominant win.
Yeah, it was a whitewash.
Yeah, did not expect that at all. You know, playing matchmaker, realistically, he's got 11 fights. You know, how fast do you really step this guy up as far as this competition and everything goes?
I don't know. I don't know if you'd want to put him in there with the, with a Baranchuk type guy just yet. You know, I don't know. I think. Just keep talking
about
the doing right.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Now, Omar, let me tell you this. Now, while so this is a quote from my wife, because my wife is she's actually at her sister's house and she's watching the interview. The direct quote. Ooh, that guy you're interviewing is a cutie. All right, this is a direct quote from my wife.
can't say that. You can't say that. That's a conflict of interest right now.
So my wife loves this interview, so there you go.
So talk about the activity. How are you able to stay so active despite everyone else really not being active because of the pandemic? Because you haven't used the pandemic as an excuse at all. You just kept on trucking.
Kept going.
No, yeah, like I said, as soon as everything started happening, I knew that, you know, tough times weren't going to last, so I had to stay ready. We were training, very different, training in our house, training in our garage, having to do everything there at our house. But we had to do what we had to do. I kept my weight down, and, you know, they had called around July, late July. They had said, we're going to try to bring it back, but there's going to be a lot of regulations, a lot of rules, you know, talking about the PBC bubble, stuff like that. So I told them I was ready. You know, just give me 4 weeks, I'm ready. And so, from there, you know, I'm blessed that I have, you know, the best team in the world. So they were keeping me active.
So how do you feel about Texas having no restrictions right now? There's like, it's wide open right now. Do you hope and expect, you know, sooner or later you get a fight in Texas too, so you can have some of your hometown guys come out for you? Is that something that you're hoping for? Is that something that could possibly be in the works?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I mean, I tell them all the time, you know, give me a week off, I'll be ready after that, I'll get my rest. But really, it's whatever they say, but I'm really hoping here in Texas.
Let me ask you a question. So at your stage, at the stage of your career right now, like I said, you're 11-0. You're not immediately thinking about title shots and everything like that, I wouldn't think, right this second. You know, but is the best thing for you now is what you look for, like in the fights, is just to be on TV? You want to get more notoriety and kind of want to build your name up and everything like that. Is that what they look for when they say, hey, Omar, you're going to fight next. We're going to put you on this pay-per-view, or we're going to put you on Fox or something. You want to be kind of on TV. Is that what they're looking for?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Right now, it's just about building my record, making a name for myself. And once, you know, I'm able to get ranked, once I'm making noise in my division, that's where I can start, you know, not really calling people out, but targeting, I guess, opponents. But right now, it's just about building up my name, I only have 11 fights. I'm still learning in the sport, and I'm open to learning anything right now. So just taking one fight at a time.
Now, the fight before your last one was a quickie. It was a first-round knockout. Obviously, this one went the distance. You don't get paid by the hour. I know you want to knock out everybody if you could, but are you kind of glad you got some rounds in just, you know, for the experience, and you were in there with a guy that was a little tricky and crafty? It was a step up, it seemed to be to me. Are you happy with the way the fight went? Are you glad you got the rounds in?
Yes, sir, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I always tell everybody it's nice, you know, to knock people out. It's nice to get the knockouts. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to get ready for those 12-rounders. If I knock everybody out, I feel like going 12 rounds in my very first 12-rounder would be very difficult. You know, I knew that this fight was going to last all the 10 rounds. I've seen this guy's fight. He's never been stopped. So I knew I was going to go the 10 rounds, but I knew that his particular style was going to be able to bring out the best in me.
Very good. Do you still do motivational speaking and everything like that?
I actually did one a couple of days ago. It was a Zoom call. I did 63 students in one class and about 52 in the next one. But it was a Zoom call. And it's different, bro. I mean, I really want to do it in person.
Yeah.
It's kind of a different feeling, but I try to do what I can do. And hopefully, you know, starting the next school year, we can start going to some schools. Even if it's COVID regulations, I still want to be able to speak to the students, you know, eye to eye. But, you know, I love what I do, man. I love what I do.
It's insane. I mean, I saw a video. I think you were like 17 or 18, and they showed you at the school.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it was like, my God, I mean, you seem so polished and everything like that. I mean, it was like crazy. He just goes up there and like he's been doing it for years, man. I mean, he was just completely polished, man. I was like, really impressive, man. Really impressive.
We need motivational speeches right now because of COVID. The kids are probably all depressed and stuff. This is what we need right now. This is what you're making a joke of it, but Omar will tell you, man, a lot of kids out there right now need a pick-me-up. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
I think Beeb needs a pick-me-up. Why don't you give Beeb a motivational speech?
Always need a pick-me-up. Always need it. Always need it. I'll be searching some of those speeches on YouTube.
All right, Omar, we're going to let you go, man. We're going to let you get back to training. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I tell you what, and we're going to have you back on again if that's okay, and probably after your next fight and get you in here to talk about it, man. We appreciate you.
No, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. God bless you guys.
All right, man.
Thank you so much.
Good
luck, man. Nice seeing you again, man. Good luck. He looks a lot like me. You see how he has the same hairstyle as me and everything? I mean, wow. We could be like brothers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's
you,
what I was thinking.
You must have been thinking that.
Looking at you and him, it was like looking in the mirror. Yeah, it really was.
Right.
I mean, oh, my God.
Was me,
yeah.
That was me like 10 years ago.
Jesus. That wasn't even you 30 years ago, okay?
Oh, stop with your haterism. You need to get the hate vaccine. I know you got the COVID one. You need to get the hate vaccine.
That kid looks like a model in your scenario. He kind of looks like me. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right?
A lot of wrinkle. Look at this. Look at the skin. Look at the sheen. Look at the sheen.
The forehead looks like it's suffering from erosion. What's the matter?
Oh, cut it out.
Yeah, that was no kidding. So midway through, as soon as he got cut off or whatever, Lisa texted me. She was like, "Oh wow, he's a cutie," you know. I was like, "What?" Trying to do a show here, you know. We're trying to keep it somewhat professional. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was a little sexist coming from Lisa, to be honest with you. You know.
Well,
you know,
I don't really want to get.
I mean, he didn't come on
involved.
Here to be objectified. I mean, he didn't come on here to be objectified.
Well, here's the thing.
You know,
I don't want to be too deeply involved here, but I'm going to even get myself in trouble. A little bit of a double standard. Can we agree on that?
I agree.
Right?
Where's the Me Too for me? You know what I mean? Where's my Me Too? Where's that at? I don't get it, babe.
A little bit of a double standard.
A lot of a double standard. Tell you that. I mean, a guy comes on here and then he gets hit on by my wife, you know? Go figure that one out. I don't get it.
What are you going to do?
Jason says you're getting Botox.
A lot of people jealous of me right now.
A lot of people drinking a Haterade.
He saw a picture of my biceps on my Facebook, right? You know what I mean? He says I photoshopped it.
Why are you putting pictures of your biceps on Facebook?
I did it. You know, just my guns were popping out. It's not photoshopped. There's nothing photoshopped about this. Cut it out.
Why are you taking like body shots and posting them up like you're one of the Kardashians on there or something like that? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, the guns just pop out. There's no. They can't be contained. I'm sorry.
Andre's a big fan of yours. He says Beeb looks great at 50-something. 50-something.
I'll be 52 in December, man, all you haters.
Are you? I thought you just turned 50.
No.
Oh, wow.
51. So I'm 51 right now. I'm going to be 52.
So you're deep
in December.
50. You're deep into 50.
I'm deep in it, man.
I like it, man.
I've
like
lived
it.
More years than I got left. I hate to say it, but it's the horrible truth of it.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, more than, you know, yeah, what are we going to do?
Sometimes I lay awake at night thinking about it, man. Jesus, what am I going to do in 10 years?
Yeah, we're
60?
On the downhill, man. On a downhill ride.
So I go to the gym. I do what I can do, you know. Try to get in those fruits and vegetables. Say your prayers. Eat your vitamins like Hogan. What can you do?
That's right. That's it. That's how you doing it. All right, man. All right. So let's talk about this pay-per-view last night. Andy Ruiz and Chris Areola. Okay. Well, Andy Ruiz wins a unanimous decision, which shocked everybody, over Chris Areola by the scores of 118-109 twice, 117-110. You know, Areola had his moments early in the fight, man. He knocked Ruiz down in the second round, had him hurting again in the third round. Listen, man, at the end of the day, Areola did a lot better than anybody expected. But he still lost the fight pretty clear. You know, I didn't pay for this fight. I caught the last six rounds, and then I watched the first six later on. That's how I do things, baby.
Oh, my God.
That's how I do it, son. I told you I wasn't paying for it. I told you.
You know
I'm
what?
Real
in,
honest
in,
about that.
In fairness to you, you stuck to your guns.
That's how I do it.
I have to give you credit. You stuck to your guns.
That's how I do it. Let me tell you what, I'm glad I didn't fork out the money, I'll be honest, man. Honestly, but I tell you this, man, if this is the new Ruiz, I'll take the old Ruiz, because he didn't look that impressive to me. He didn't look that impressive. I thought he should have knocked him out. After the fight, you know what was funny, though, is like, okay, so after the fight, I'm reading a lot of social media and everything like that. No need of cases, Ruiz lost the fight. All right, man. So a lot of people were saying, oh, I knew Chris Areola wasn't going to get knocked out. Oh, yeah, I knew he was going to be a tough. Shut up.
Cut it out.
Just shut up. Everybody and their brother thought Areola was getting K'd in this fight. Everybody did. You know what I mean? So, you know, just knock it off here. After the fights, this was nice. After the fights, Chris Areola was classy as always. I expressed displeasure with the scorecard, stating to the judges, quote, all y'all can suck my mother effing blank.
Thank you. Thank you. See, you have class. This is a family show. You blanked it out.
I got class.
You want to know what's even worse? I love Chris Areola, but he's got his son sitting on his lap at the post-fight press conference.
Oh, and what did he say? F the judges or something like that?
He's dropping F-bombs. It reminded me back in the day at Sunday dinner at my table. I was getting flashbacks. That's how bad it was. Getting flashbacks. I never heard so many F-bombs since I was 15 at Sunday dinner, man.
Sunday dinner.
That's how we got down at the Beeb House.
Come on.
But he's got a leg. The kid couldn't have been more than eight, nine years old, right? Sitting on his lap, and he's sitting there dropping F-bombs, and his son's just like this is how it is at the Areola residence. This is how we talk.
This is how we do it, baby. Yeah, right?
Horrible.
I tell you what, and I mean, Chris Areola can complain all he wants. Listen, he lost the fight. It was pretty clear he lost the fight.
Well,
you know, I mean, I gave him about two rounds. I can give him about two or three rounds.
I gave him two. That's what I said. I gave him two rounds. The most you could have given him was three. And then like, again, I hated how the commentators
it was a tight fight or something like that, you know? I mean, what are you watching?
And credit to Brian Kenny for saying, okay, just because, some of the rounds are, you know, there's moments in the rounds where Areola's looking competitive, you still got to add the rounds up and you score the fight and it is what it is.
Right.
You don't give a guy more credit because you thought he was going to get knocked out, but he did. You don't get, you don't score action, like, because the fight's exciting, because the guy's got an exciting style.
Right.
Because the guy's showing heart. There's nothing in the scoring criteria that you get points for those things. You know, Andrew Ruiz was a little rusty. Okay, I cut him some slack for that. But I will say this. I thought the combinations were sharp. He was never a defensive specialist, but he was always good at tucking his chin. And when he usually does get hit, usually gets hit on the top of his head mostly. He never really gets hit flush. He rolls shots. I don't think he looked bad. I know a lot of people are saying he didn't look stellar. A lot of people were expecting the knockout. But the guy was off for almost what? How long was he off for? Like almost
He was off for a bit. He was off for a bit. I mean,
about a year and a half, right?
Yeah, and this was, but, you know, in all fairness, Areola was set in there to make him look good.
Yeah.
He didn't do that.
But
I mean,
but
you know,
look,
but, you know,
but
I say that in one every round, so what, I don't know.
See, I'm going to be honest, and I respect everyone's opinion because, you know, what you expected is what you expected. I expected the knockout. I thought Areola was going to get destroyed. Areola did do better than what I expected. And I will say this. The outcome of the fight was the best possible scenario because Ruiz came back, got rounds in, and Areola put up as good a fight as he could, showed a lot of heart, landed a good right hand every now and then, scored a knockdown. It was a flash knockdown, but it was a knockdown. Ruiz got up, you know, but again, you know, this whole thing about the scorecards, at best, Areola won 3 rounds. I gave him 2. You could have any scores ranging from 116 or 111 to 119, 109. You didn't have to give him that third round if you didn't want to. I mean, it was kind of a swing round, you know. I thought that once Andy did get into the rhythm, once he was closing the gap, once he started getting low and tucking his chin and making himself a compact target inside, I thought his combinations were fluid. I thought he was sharp, crisp. But it looked okay. I thought he looked okay.
He looked okay.
Yeah. I didn't think he looked bad.
I don't think he looked bad, but I mean, everybody was expecting this new and improved Andy Ruiz. He had lost 30 pounds, and everybody just expected to come out like a flash. And that wasn't exactly what we got, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people in the chat thought the scorecards were ridiculous, too. I didn't think the scorecards were ridiculous at all. I mean,
bottom line is lost.
I mean, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
tell me the rounds you gave Areola.
Yeah.
I mean, second, third, maybe the eighth if you wanted to. Other than that, like, how did he win rounds? He wasn't. The thing about Ruiz is he's very active. And another thing, too, is he never looks tired. No matter how heavy he is, no matter how light he is. He's always got that engine about him, you know. He's got that. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He never huffs and puffs in the corner. He never looks tired to me. I'm gonna be honest. If I was to grade Andy Ruiz's performance last night, I think I'd give him an 8. I think I'd give him an 8. I don't think he did that bad.
Seven.
Okay, that's fine.
He looked exactly to me. He didn't look. There was nothing different about him other than
now,
his weight loss.
And now here's the question. Did it take a lot out of him losing so much weight in a short period of time? Number one, did it make him weaker? Did it take anything off his punches? Did it make him less effective in terms of power punching? Did it take any power off his punches?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know that the weight loss really – I'll be honest with you. I don't know if the weight loss really hurt him because he was training at the same time. He was losing weight. He was losing weight gradually into camp. He didn't just lose it in camp. He lost it up to camp. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was before he was coming in. So he had already lost a significant amount of weight. Camp took the rest of it off. Now, I don't think the weight loss – and really, like I said, I mean, it was 30 pounds. He looked like he lost a lot more. We talked about that on Thursday on D-Style show. But Maestro told us, he said that it was the body composition that changed. He's only lost 30 pounds, but he looked like he'd lost like 50 or 60, you know, when you look at pictures. So
Now let me ask you another question, because a lot of people, based off of what they saw last night, they're sitting there saying, well, if that was Deontay Wilder in there, he would chew him up. Now, my whole response to that is, let's take a look at some of these Deontay Wilder fights. He was losing before he knocked out Gerald Washington. He was losing before he knocked out Spilka. If he's losing both Ruiz fights, like,
yeah.
Again, if he doesn't knock Ruiz out and Ruiz puts rounds in the bank and the fight goes to the distance.
There's no way Jay Wilder's winning a decision against that guy.
Yeah,
is a no-brainer. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, if Wilder, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If Wilder doesn't knock him out, then Ruiz could grind out and outwork him and win a decision on the inside.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And Ruiz got a great chin. I mean, he got hit by Joshua, got knocked down, and got up. You know, so Joshua hit him with several good shots. So if he could take Wilder's right hand and he can get inside on Wilder, because Wilder doesn't throw a lot of punches. He throws one punch at a time. He's not a big
combination
puncher.
Guy, yeah.
He's not a guy that throws a ton of punches. He's a guy that looks for that one shot, and Wilder's looking for that one shot. If Ruiz can get inside, even though Ruiz doesn't have the quickest feet in the world, and Wilder does have some pretty decent foot speed, but he doesn't really use it because he stays stationary a lot.
Right. He tries to load up.
So I think that – I'll be honest, I'd pick Ruiz in that fight. I'd pick Ruiz in that fight.
Yeah, I think that fight's a no-brainer, I'll be honest with you.
Ruiz got dropped, and he wasn't hurt. It was a flash knockdown. He got up, and he was not in trouble. He got up against Joshua. Joshua hit him with several good shots in that fight. He got up, and he knocked Joshua. I mean, again, I just don't get – I don't understand what these people – I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I just don't get it.
Let's talk about the undercard real quick over here, and then we'll go to the phones. Abel Ramos versus Omar Figueroa. Ramos beats Figueroa by TKO
wow.
in the sixth.
Did you see him spitting up blood in the corner? He was spitting up gobs of blood in the corner. I've never seen someone spit up that much blood. It was crazy the beating he had to endure.
He doesn't have any defense. I mean, he has zero defense.
Yeah, he's got
nothing. I mean, he doesn't move his head. He doesn't put his – I mean,
no.
Nothing.
He's
been like this his entire career, son.
Yeah. He's got to take a look at this tape and ask himself, do I want to continue here?
He ain't going to delay looking at this tape and asking it. I'm telling you what, man, that guy, yeah. I mean, look, I know his trainers know what they're doing. You just get hit and you just revert back to what you were doing. I mean, and that's just slugging.
Covering one side of your face and leaving the other side wide open. What's that all about?
You knew it was a matter of time before he got, you know,
yeah,
he got blasted, man. Sebastian Fundora, 6'6", this guy is, versus Jorge Cota. This might have been the surprise for me. I didn't expect it to end like this. He just beat up Jorge Cota all night.
Cota's
I expected
horrible.
Fundora to win the fight. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. And then Arislandi Lara on the undercard. I think this was on Fox, if I'm not mistaken.
I saw this. Yeah, this was a good fight.
It was a good fight. It was a good one. 30 seconds.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? People are saying that there's people on Twitter saying that they think Cornflake took a dive. I don't see how that.
He took a dive on that hand, on that left hand he got hit with.
Yeah, I don't.
He got starched, son. That was solid. That wasn't no dive. He got hit solid, son.
If he took a dive, then he should be in Hollywood right now. Because
got blasted. That was a straight shot, too. He just got blasted, son. Yeah, one round. Yeah, he took a dive. He wasn't going to win that fight. Who's saying he took a dive? He had a shot winning that fight? He wasn't winning that fight, son.
No, he wasn't winning that.
You could see he was setting him up. I mean, they're just that quick, man. He was getting set up.
And we've seen Lara do that before too. I mean,
yeah, it's not like Cornflake, like we're sitting here like, oh man, he was gonna win or he had a shot.
No.
We knew he didn't have a shot. We knew this was like a squash, man. I told you the whole card was a squash.
Yeah, I didn't like the undercard at all. I'm going to be honest with you.
The undercard was terrible, son.
Jason's trying to tell me the undercard was good. There's no way. I mean, the main event was okay. It wasn't a great event. The DAZN card was way better. There's no question. It was way better.
All right, let me go to the phones here. We got Robert, and then Baltimore's online as well. Let's go to ringside. Robert here. Robert.
Hello, guys. How are you?
What's happening?
Hi, Robbie.
So let me ask you a question. So you actually paid for this last night?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I watched all 14 fights yesterday.
He had it counted out. He had 14 fights.
Yeah, well, if you count the cards, there were seven fights on the DAZN card.
I know what you're saying. I thought it was funny that you counted the number
four,
of fights.
Four on
what I'm saying
yeah.
is, yeah, what I'm saying is, I thought it was funny that you counted the number of fights. Nobody ever. I never sit at the weekend and say I watched 15 football games or I watched like you know. Four fights. I mean, I watched the fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I watched all the fights yesterday. Yeah, all 14 fights yesterday. Yep.
So you got the DAZN now.
Yep. I paid for the year.
So how do you like it? How did you like it?
Well, like Beeb said, the DAZN card was much better than the Fox card.
I said that. I said that last week.
And, but no, you know what? I don't regret paying for it because it was a good deal. And the fights were entertaining. But for those of you that think Chris Ariola won that fight, please go back and rewatch it because you don't know what you're talking about. I scored the fight 10 rounds to 2 in favor of Andy Ruiz. The only two rounds I gave Ariola were the second and the third.
2 and 3, yeah. That's it. I mean, you know, and I don't think anybody – you know what's funny is everybody's bashing the scorecards, but nobody thought Ariola won. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't see anybody saying, you know.
And then Sean Porter was bashing the scorecards, right? And he scored the fight what 116 and 111.
Well,
he gave Ariola 3 rounds. Wow, Sean. You gave him one more round than everybody else. Wow.
You know, guys, I've come to the conclusion, guys, that whenever there's a Fox pay-per-view and Joe Goosen has to work one of the corners of one of the fighters, that's who those commentators are going to support because, you know, we have to support our buddy. But that's not how you cover a boxing event. You cover a boxing event by telling everybody who's watching what exactly is happening in the ring. Joe may be one of your best friends in the entire world, but if his fighter is losing, you need to make that clear. I mean, you got so many people now, oh, he did better than he was supposed to. Yeah, maybe he did, but what does he get for it? He lost, and in my opinion, he only won 2 rounds. You had these idiots last night talking about, well, let's do this again. What's the purpose of doing it again? You want to see Ariola get hurt even worse?
Wow, that was callous, Robert. I'm very surprised at you.
I've got a few other opinions, Eric. You may not like one of the best fights on the
I've got a few
card,
also.
one of the best fights on the DAZN card yesterday was Katie Taylor.
Yeah, I didn't catch that fight. Let's start. Why don't you hang on here? I tell you what, you stay on here. We're going to talk about the.
I'm going to hang on real quick.
Yeah.
I'm not going nowhere.
All right, hang on 1 second here. All right, so let's talk about this beep. The train wreck of the week this week. Let's talk about Derek Chisora. What an absolute baby this guy is, man. So they had a coin flip to see who was going to come to the ring second. Chisora lost this coin flip. The day of the fight, Chisora tells him he's not walking out first. And if they don't change it, he's pulling out of the fight. Then had to be calmed down with a phone call from his mom, son. His mom. Telling him basically to go ahead with the fight. This dude is completely unstable. Beeb, he's your boy.
Let me be honest with you. I think it was a publicity stunt. I showed you what they paid him for that fight. The guarantee he allegedly
got. Good, man. Yeah, what was that? That guarantee was like $4 million?
Well, that's pounds. Converted to dollars, that's like $6 million, bro.
Yeah. That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of cash.
You can say what you want about him and Dillian White. I like both of them. I think they're both very entertaining to watch. But those guys, like I told you, those UK fighters and those UK fans, they pay for those pay-per-views. And the reason why those pay-per-views are so cheap is because you know how much Sky costs as a subscription for a month? Sky, like their channels are like $40 a month. Their premium channels are like $40 a month, where our Showtime and HBO is like $15 and $13 over here. The reason why their pay-per-views are so cheap, I found this out. I knew this a couple of years ago, but I forgot about it too, is Sky's like triple the price that freaking HBO is. The subscription, the regular channel.
That's,
you know what I mean? So that's why. But yeah, I mean, there was no way he was going to walk away from that payday. And like,
he'd have been stupid. There's no way he was walking
and
away
then people,
from 6 million fights.
And there's no reason for guys like him and Dillian White to come over to the United States and fight because they're making shit tons of money. Look what Katie Taylor's making.
What did you say? Yeah, what did Katie Taylor make? $1 million or $2 million?
Well, again, that's pounds.
Right.
Convert that to dollars. She's made $1.3 million for that fight. Chris Eubank Jr. made £500,000. Convert that to American dollars. That's $690,000.
So how much did Clarissa make in her last fight? Because that was that pay-per-view or whatever that, like, five people watched.
I don't think she made anywhere near.
No
and this
way.
Is where the, this is where the
every
jealousy.
Time she's out, though. This is every
Katie
time
Taylor,
she's out. Yeah.
Katie Taylor is a million-dollar fighter every time out.
Yep.
And I don't know why Amanda Serrano would not want to, like, if, what's
she's
her name?
All talk. She's all talk, son.
Jonas got 350 pounds, which equates to $500,000.
Right.
Which was by far the most he's ever got. So I don't know what Amanda Serrano was offered to fight Katie Taylor, but
probably a lot more, you know. You would.
You know, if it's 750,000 or 500,000, that's a lot more than she's getting right now. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like You can't – it's hard to criticize these – you know, what's going on right now in the zone because these guys – I mean, the zone's putting on great cards. And that was a very entertaining card from top to bottom. I enjoyed the card. Really did.
Asim Khan in the chat says you can buy a Sky pay-per-view without being a Sky subscriber. Right. I mean
– Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I thought that was like a Showtime – kind of like Showtime pay-per-view. And they
can do that. We can
thing.
Do that here.
Yeah,
we can do that here because we have because you have digital streaming now.
Yeah.
So you anyone can buy a digital pay-per-view now. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, since we're on Katie Taylor, let's talk about that fight before we address the Parker fight here.
Sure.
Katie Taylor won a hard-fought unanimous decision over Natasha Jones, 96-94, 96-95, and 96-95 unanimous. Was it really that close?
Yeah, it was. I had it 96-94.
You had it 96-94. Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Jonas is a great fighter. She was making the adjustment. She's got like I told you before, she's got phenomenal footwork. She's really got great footwork. You know, Katie Taylor was reaching in a little bit with that jab, and she was just sliding back just a little bit, and she was coming right around the jab with her right hook. She's a very crafty southpaw, and she was going to the body well. You know, she in the beginning of the fight, Katie Taylor was coming forward, and Jonas was just standing there, trying to hold her ground. But then when she started moving and giving Katie Taylor angles a little bit, she was creating openings for herself. She was making Katie Taylor have to reset and kind of reach for her. And once Katie Taylor started reaching, that's when Jonas, you know, caught her when she was extended. And that's when she came over the top with the nice right hook, straight left down the middle. And then she would slide in and she started – she was ripping that left hand to the body, too. It was, I mean, Katie Taylor is a phenomenal fighter because she's just such a pinpoint, accurate, fluid combination puncher. She's like, bah, 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 bah. And she knows how to feint her way in. But because, you know, Jonas really was making a lot of subtle movements on the turn of a dime at the last minute, she had to make Katie Taylor reset. And, you know, she wasn't able to always feint her way in and step in with the jab the way she wanted to. So I credit that to Jonas's superb footwork. Like I said before, I think she's got excellent footwork. And she's a quick young lady herself. She's a quick little woman herself on her feet. So I just think it was – for me, I'm going to be honest with you, that was my the most entertaining fight of the weekend for me. The only frustrating thing about it is the 2 minute rounds. That fight would have been phenomenal if it was 3 minute rounds.
I don't understand it.
And during the buildup, Tasha Jonas said if there was ever a fight that would be ideal for three rounds, it would be this one right here because both her and I are nonstop. You know, we're both big punchers. You know, and Jonas is a really sharp puncher. She's kind of explosive with that left hand. So Yeah, it was a great fight. It was a great fight. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm just, again, man, the two-minute rounds, I mean, why not? But, you know, we can beat that to death. It's not going to happen. I mean, it is what it is. You know, a lot of people, I think, didn't Clarissa Shields had actually called out Katie Taylor, but they're in two. There's no way she can get down there.
Yeah,
that's silly.
It's even a stretch for Katie Taylor to go up to 147.
I don't think she can. I think she's too small.
Now, she may go up there and fight McCaskill, because McCaskill's got the that would be a rematch, because I think they fought, I want to say they fought at 140 before, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 140 they fought at. But, yeah, that would be a rematch, and they could fight at 147, and that would make sense, you know?
Yeah.
But they're talking about that, which is a potential fight down the road, but, you know.
Yeah, we'll see,
it
man.
Is what it is.
Maestro says that Chisora should have gotten the nod. I had him winning 7-5 plus a 10-8 round.
That's what I had, 115 and 120.
Did you give it to Chisora?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I gave it to
Robbie.
Did I give it?
Robbie
to
gave it
to. I think I gave
no, you
it
gave
to Chisora too. Hold on.
You had it Chisora. You had it 114 and 113. You had it 6-6 in rounds.
That's right. I sure did. Here, hold on.
Ask Robbie his scorecard, because he gave it to Parker.
Robert, what was your scorecard?
I had it 114-113 for Parker. I wanted to give it to Chisora, but when I wound up scoring it, it wound up being for Parker by 1 point. So, you know,
Robbie, did you give the I don't mean to cut you off. I apologize. Did you give the fifth round? Did you give the fifth round to Parker too? Because some people gave the fifth and sixth round to Parker, and they only gave Chisora the first four. I thought he clearly won the first five, but there are
I gave him the first
some,
five. I gave him the first
there are
five.
Some people. Yeah, there are some people that gave Parker five and six.
Yeah, I'm one of those, Beeb. I did.
What round
did
you give Parker?
I'd have to go back through my card, but I know two of them I gave was 5 and 6.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'd have to go.
Who
I'd
did you
to
have?
Go.
Who? What rounds did you give Chisora? Or what rounds did you give Parker? Did you give him the sixth?
No, I gave. I actually gave. I scored the first six for Chisora.
Okay.
And then I gave the 12th to Chisora. Now, and
gotcha.
I gave 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, I gave Parker five rounds. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, I got Chisora. I gave him the first five. I gave Parker all the way up to the 12th. I gave Chisora the first five and the 12th. I thought the 12th round was where I really thought I was like, this is going one way. And Chisora, for as gassed as he was gassed around the fourth round. I've never heard anybody breathe that heavy before in my life in a corner. I mean, it was bad.
But he came back in that 12th, man. I think he did.
I thought he was just busier. He was busier.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is just my opinion, and I'm not, and, you know, I've been on the wrong side of scoring. I've scored fights to people like, what are you talking about, Beeb? But this is just my opinion. Now, I thought that Chisora clearly won the first five. And I thought he clearly won the 12th. And then he had the knockdown. So I thought he clearly won six rounds. Now, okay, the fight's close. So sometimes people will say, well, the fight was close. Just on the sheer fact that the fight was close, they say it could have gone either way. Now, there's such thing as a clear-cut close decision. Like that Chavez-Whitaker fight. The one that was a draw.
Yeah.
I scored that 7-5 for Whitaker. A lot of people scored that 7-5 for Whitaker.
Yeah. That was about it, yeah.
But when you look at that, you can say that's a close fight, right? But Whitaker
clearly won those seven
rounds. It was almost impossible.
Clearly
to
won
them
that
to,
fight, yeah.
It was almost impossible to give them to Chavez.
Right.
This is what kind of frustrated me yesterday, and I get it. I mean, again, I'm not the end-all when it comes to scoring fights. Like, Robbie scored it for Parker. I'm not going to argue with him. But when I was watching this fight, and at the end of this fight, I'm saying to myself, you know, there's no way they're going to give this fight to Parker. I mean, Chisora is the hometown fighter. But without even thinking about that, I thought he clearly won the first five, and I thought he clearly won the 12. I thought it was very hard for me to see anyone giving him, you know, giving Parker any of the first five. But people, some people gave him the fit, so okay, maybe I'm wrong.
You know,
I'd love to see these two do it again, to be honest with you, to settle this.
Oh, they have to do it again. I think it's a no-brainer.
Let me tell you what, I'm not a big fan of rematches, but I wouldn't mind seeing this fight again. I thought it was really entertaining. I thought it was kind of a tale of two fights. You had the first five or six going to Chisora, the last one's going to Parker. I mean, it was really good. It was really entertaining.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I felt bad for Chisora after this fight, but then when I found out how much he got, I didn't feel as bad. I was like,
yeah,
well,
that acted like a baby beforehand. No, I don't feel bad for Chisora at all.
It was all part of it. It was all publicity.
All publicity.
Kind of slack.
You know, a little WWE action. You know, but you know, I tell you what surprised me about Parker is, to me, that guy doesn't have any killer instinct.
Oh yeah, none.
He just has none. I think he was afraid to get in there. I think he was afraid of what was coming back. I really do. I think he was afraid of what was coming back, because there was a couple of times in those later rounds that he had Chisora hurt, and he wouldn't step in to finish him. And then the other thing was, why didn't he go to Chisora's body? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
he never went to Chisora's body.
I don't know about the two of you, but I've never been a real Joseph Parker fan. And, you know, so I was really surprised that he fought as well as he did yesterday. And you're right, he does not have the killer instinct. And you could say the same thing about Chris Eubank. Now, in his case, maybe he just wanted to get rounds, but in his fight, there were several occasions where he had the guy hurt and he backed off, you know? I mean,
I'm not a big fan of that. Let's get rounds in. No, because you're in there with no headgear on, right? And you're in there with small gloves. He could have taken him out in that second round without question, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But then he backs off and tries to get rounds in. Anything can happen from there on out. You can get caught with a lucky shot. You can break your hand.
Anything.
You can get butted and have 16 stitches in your head. It's not worth letting the guy off the hook. You want to get rounds in. You want to get work. Stay in the gym and spar. Just spar. You don't. When you're getting paid to fight in front of people and you're under the lights, that is not meant to be a sparring session. I hate this let's get rounds in. Now, if you're in there with an opponent that is going to force you to get rounds in because of his style or whatever, and he's going to make you work hard and you have no choice but to get rounds in because of the guy you're in there with, that's a different story. But just to sit there and hurt a guy and have him wobble him and have him go back, and then you stop and you back up and you let him off the hook because you want to get rounds in? No. I'm not about all that carrying bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm just not with that.
That criticism aside, though, I've got to say, I think Roy Jones is going to do wonders for him, because I've seen a completely different fighter than what I saw the last time I saw Chris Eubank fight yesterday, and maybe that was one of the reasons why Roy told him in the corner, you know, hey, we need rounds, you know. I don't know, but yeah, maybe he wanted to use that fight for working on things, but in the second round especially, he had the guy hurt. It's time to finish the job. And I was like, oh, you know, that to me, that's a big mistake. But the whole card yesterday was definitely interesting to watch. And, of course, looking forward to Canelo and Billy Saunders this weekend. So
there you go.
Bobby, I'm so happy for you that you got the zone right now. I'm almost as happy about you getting the zone than you are right now. That's how happy I am right now for you getting the zone.
Well, once I learn how to navigate.
When people are doing good, you know what I mean? It's good endorphin release. You don't realize these things. You don't have the emotional construct that I have. You don't have these feelings.
Once I learn how to navigate the app completely, I can go back and start watching all the fights I've missed, you know.
I'm only a phone call away, Roger.
He can go back 5 years and watch all the fights that he missed.
Eric, I plan on doing a lot of that.
I watched the whole season of Cobra Kai in one day.
Cobra Kai is awesome, though.
You know what I mean?
Cobra Kai is so good.
I binge watch everything, man.
That show is so good. It's the best show on TV.
I stayed up so late watching that. I had to call in sick from work the next day. Told him I had something happened. I couldn't come into work that day.
I broke my back.
I don't want to tell him I binge watched Cobra Kai. That's why I can't come in today. But I didn't go in the next day. Let's just say that.
All right, Robert, we're gonna get running.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, man. Enjoy the zone, man. Enjoy it, man.
I'm so happy.
Now that I got it, I definitely am. And I'm going to stick around. So if you want to come back to me, I'll be here.
All right, man. All right. Sounds good.
Love this kid. I love him. I just like success stories. Go ahead.
JC said if you can navigate browsers, you can navigate the zone. Baltimore 443, you're live.
What's up, sir? It's Troy. How you doing?
Troy, what's up, baby?
Told you that fight.
Good,
was
man. Good. I started to run out of quarters for this
fight
with
dead.
Man.
Huh? I didn't even know they still had pay phones.
They still have pay phones?
I didn't know they had pay phones.
No, I'm messing with you. I don't know where to start. I mean,
the fight card
last night. All up to Derek Chisora was pretty decent. You know, the female fights were the best fight on the card. And then, you know, and then Chisora came on and did his job. And then they robbed the man in his home country, which ruined the entire mood after that. How and why they did that, I do not know. I mean, because what
I
is
felt,
the game?
I really
you know,
felt bad.
I was surprised. I was actually surprised that they
I
didn't
felt,
give it to him.
That was a great. That was such a great performance from him last night, man. 37.
What's
a
one judge have? 116, 111.
One
That's
judge
crazy.
Only gave him, I think, three.
Right?
One judge gave him three rounds.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I don't
what
know.
Is, what is
that
this?
That was the judge out from New Zealand, right?
No, he's from Poland.
I thought the Polish guy scored
Poland.
It for.
He was a Polish judge.
Was it? That was the Polish guy?
No.
Yeah, the Polish guy.
No,
but, gave him three rounds.
Yeah, but it was a judge from New Zealand that did him dirty, too.
The other ones were
115,
113. Yeah, the other ones were close, like 115, 113, man.
See, this is the crazy thing. Yeah. Like, two judges scored one even round. That's the only way they could have got to.
See, I hate that. I hate those even rounds. Got to go, man.
They do that in Europe a lot.
They love that in the UK. Yeah, they love
even
rounds.
I hate even rounds. It aggravates me. Well, even the Katie Taylor fight, they two judges scored one round even in that fight, too. They had it 96-95.
No, but you could tell that you lost a fight when your trainer, Andy Lee, comes out and says, yeah, you know, he lost the fight. You know,
he said that. He said we lost.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if we're going to get this. He said that. He goes, I don't know if we're going to get this one.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. That was tough.
And then the fight with Chris Areola and Andy Ruiz. Andy wasn't complaining because he was saying he won. He was complaining because the judges only gave him one round. That's what he was complaining about. He only scored one round for him.
I only gave him two rounds.
All I know is he looked like he went to fat camp and lost weight, and he had a limp. And he every time he tagged him with that right hand, he was hurting Andy Ruiz. Every single time. So I don't know if he's that good or Andy was never that good in the first place. But I'm proud of Chris, man. You know, he lost the weight. He's been putting good work. As far as his language, he's always been that way. You know, you name your interview cuss. Yeah. You know, they have to tell him to chill
out
on HBO.
I'm just saying to myself,
you know.
But he's 40 years old now. I think he should start chilling out a little bit with the language. I mean, he's a father and everything.
He's stuck in his ways, man. You never know. He just probably wake up in the
morning
and say,
Maybe I'm a prude. I'm a prude.
Maybe we're just getting old, Beeb. I don't know.
We're just getting old, man.
Maybe we're too old for this thing, you know.
I gave up using the F word for Lent this year.
Yeah, I asked this question last night. Where does Andy Ruiz go now? You know, who's next?
Wilder.
Who's next?
Deontay Wilder.
Wilder's retired, man. Wilder's retired. Please, leave him out of the conversation.
Wilder's not retired. I didn't see a retirement press conference.
Okay,
I didn't
listen.
See a retirement press conference.
Did you see
a I saw him boxing in his home.
Did you see a press conference behind him when he retired? No, you didn't.
I know he went to
Italy.
You
still hear me?
Listen, he had a torn bicep tendon, all right? He's recovering from the torn bicep tendon, all right? We got to give him that. right?
Okay. Well, he's retired. I'm going to stick to my guns on that. I'm going to stick to my guns, man.
All right.
You can see. I don't care.
I would like to see him. I would like to see him fight Wilder next. I would like to see him fight Wilder next. If I,
yeah, I would like to see him.
I think that's to me, that's a no-brainer fight to make. You know.
You know what? I don't really care to see that cat fight at all. He's not really my, you know, not really my thing. It took him took him 6 months to lose less than 30. Was it 30 pounds he lost? It took you 6 months to do that?
He looked like he lost a lot more, but yeah, I was surprised that he was just 30. But like I said, it put a lot of muscle on and stuff like that. He looked
good. He
looked good.
That's a lot of weight. 30 pounds, a lot of weight.
Yeah,
he looked good, man.
Yeah, but I got to give both of them their props because that fight was fought at a very high pace. That fight was fought at a very high pace with two big men.
Yeah.
And I got to give them their props for that. And Chris is a tough dude, man. But his shoulder was dead. You noticed that, right? When he got hit on the shoulder, his shoulder was dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like his shoulder went out. Yeah. So who would you like to see Ruiz fight next?
He could go fight to win for all I care. I don't to be honest with you. Put him in there with Charles
fight
Martin.
The win?
You know, let him fight Charles Martin or something, you know? There you go. Charles Martin need a fight.
Charles
he need a
Martin.
Fight. Put him in Charles Martin. That would be a good setup to say, okay, I'm fighting him because I need practice with Wilder. They both tall, even though Charles is southpaw. They're both tall, yada, 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 and go from there, right? And if he gets past Charles
I don't like
Martin,
that fight. I think that's a walkover fight. Well, but I thought this was a walkover fight,
a walkover fight for
who?
Walkover fight for
who? I thought it was a walkover fight for Ruiz.
If he can't get Wilder, he should fight Luis Ortiz. That's right, Sneezy Fox.
Yes.
That's right.
There you go.
That's a terrible
fight, you know what?
Man.
That'll be a good fight.
No.
Man. He can have that fight in Mexico, too, because he don't speak English. That's right. Thank you. That's a good fight. You know, that's a good check for that's a good check for, you know, a Luis Ortiz. He can retire and get some more S curls and leave the sport of boxing. But yes, very. You know what, man? I don't say this a lot, but you're a very intelligent man. Very intelligent man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I think he might have been referring to Sneezy, who actually had the fight.
I hear that. I hear that a lot.
Trust me, he never hears.
Okay,
that.
Now I'm going to self promote some if you don't mind. All right. Are you cool
go
with
ahead.
That? All right. Well,
go
tomorrow
ahead.
Night, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. Okay, tomorrow
again,
night
yes.
at 9 o'clock. Come on, cut it out, brother. But, you know, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on Major Keys Boxing, we're going to have Damon Nicholson.
Okay, you're going to make a promotional announcement. Go ahead and promote what you're going to promote.
I just did.
I said
tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, you know, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Major Keys Boxing, Damon Nicholson will be on there, and he's going to be interviewed tomorrow night. And that's the same fighter, you know, who just lost to Berlanga, but he's the first man that took him all the way. That's the first man that he couldn't knock out. Yeah, so.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, just confirmed it tonight. He's definitely going to be on there. And look for more things to come in the future depending on how this one works out, you know?
All right, man.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
All right, man.
That's a good interview right there.
Yeah, and also I heard you mention Katie Taylor and how much she's making. Why isn't it that Shields never fights overseas in the U.K.? Because I think she'd make more money and actually make herself a bigger name. Can you know, does anybody know why
sucks.
She never fights overseas?
Because her management sucks. That's simple. That's simple. Management sucks. Sign with DAZN, sign with somebody else. I mean, something ain't right?
Yeah, because
you know,
me personally,
because
if I'm carrying the mantle of the best female boxer of my era, then and someone else is making more than me, I'm gonna go find out. Hold on now, I got the name, but you got the money. You know, hey, you know something ain't right over here. So I'm going right to the UK, and I'm gonna plant my roots right there. You understand? Who do they have over there that could fight Shields anyway? In the U.K.?
Savannah Marshall. Savannah Marshall.
There you go.
She's a WBO middleweight champ. That's one of the best fights in female boxing you can make right there. That and Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano.
There you go. All right, Troy, we're going to go ahead and get moving here, man. Make sure to catch his interview tomorrow on his channel. So there you go. All right, let's talk about ESPN, and then we're going to move on to next week's fight. We're just going to touch on this. Sonny Edwards versus Marudy Falane. All right, so Edwards was a big underdog. I think, what was he, a 4-1 underdog, Beeb, here?
No, it wasn't that bad. It was like a 2-1 underdog. It wasn't that bad.
It was a pretty big underdog, I think. I don't know.
I checked the odds. Did you check the odds? Yeah, because Chikala wanted to bet him.
he was asking about this fight. He was going to take Filani. I think he took Filani.
No, he took Edwards. I'm glad he didn't listen to me because I thought Filani was going to win the fight.
Yeah,
I thought Filani was going to stop Edwards. And thank God he didn't listen. Thank God, because originally he liked Edwards, and he asked me who I liked, and I said I liked Filani. The one thing he hates like fighters that are old. Like when fighters are old, he fighters get like past 30, he thinks they're done. So because this Milani guy is a little bit older and Sonny Edwards was young,
mm-hmm.
and plus the fight, well, he was also concerned because the fight was in the UK.
Right. I didn't expect it. Did you?
I didn't think Edwards was going to win the fight. I thought he was going to get stopped. I told him. I told Chikala I think he's going to get stopped.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
I tell you what, man, one of the biggest upsets so far defeats Delaney by the scores of 120 to 108, 118, 111, and 115, 113. Man, I tell you what, Edwards boxed a perfect fight here, man. He wouldn't let Delaney get close. He controlled the distance. He controlled
that
the
movement.
Tempo. That movement, son. After a while, you know the only thing that Delaney could really do, man, was land that one big shot. That's it. That's all he had. He wasn't outboxing this guy.
He was chasing him all night.
And he wasn't cutting the ring off. He wasn't. I mean, he was chasing him. That's a big difference, man.
No.
I tell you what, when I'm really happy that Edwards won this fight. I was really pleased, man. I one of those things where you're like, you know, and we always try to remain biased, but you always, you know, have your favorites and when you're watching
a
fight, you root for him.
He's a nice kid. He's got a good story.
I'm really glad, man. I really am.
Yeah. Both the brothers are good.
They're great winners. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Charlie Edwards is nice, too. They seem like really nice guys.
Yeah. On the undercard here, man, I tell you what, Michael Conlan versus Ionut Baluta. Conlan wins a majority decision by the scores of 117, 112, 115, 114, and 114 all. Conlan started off good, man, but Baluta, he came on toward the middle rounds and made a fight of it, man. He was busier in spots. But all in all, I thought Conlan won the fight. It was 115, 114 might have been a little close, a little closer than what it should have been. But Conlan won the fight. But he's been tested, man. I mean, that's what you want to see. That's why you move him up. So they say that he's going to go for a title in like 6 months. They want him on a 6 month track, so he may fight again and then fight for a title here in 6 months. So we'll see, man. We'll see. He seems to have, he's got skill. He's got a good skill level. He's a good fighter. We'll see what happens, man.
Interesting.
All right, so let's talk about the upcoming fights here, and then we'll get into Felix Verdejo, his situation. I'm not sure I want to get in that situation, I tell you what.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Huh?
That's a tough one, man, I tell you what.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you're trying to go around OJing people, you know. This is what happens.
Yeah.
May 8th, Arlington, Texas, on the zone, Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders for Alvarez's WBC and WBA super middleweight titles and Saunders' WBO middleweight title, super middleweight title. Elwin Soto versus Katsumari Takayama, 12 rounds for Soto's WBO junior flyweight title. Kieran Conway versus Suleiman Sissoko. 10 rounds, junior middleweights. Frank Sanchez versus Nagy Aguilera, 8 rounds, heavyweights. Let me tell you what, this card is the drizzling you-know-what, because they have one fight on there that anybody's really interested in.
Yeah.
No name, no nothing on there. I mean, it's terrible.
Boxing just can't get that momentum going. Like they have a good card and they just can't ride it. You know what I mean?
They got nothing here. I mean, you could have put somebody on this card, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this was terrible. That is an awful undercard.
I agree.
It is what it is, you know. And that's pretty much all the boxing we got this weekend. But let's touch on this Canelo Alvarez, Billy Joe Saunders thing for a minute here. Beeb, you know, Canelo is a tough out, obviously, for anyone. He's the best fighter on the planet right now, in my opinion. Billy Joe Saunders does have a really good style, and I think he is going to give Canelo a lot of problems in this fight. Does he beat him? I don't know. I'm still on the fence on this. I don't know. Every time I pick against Canelo, though, or I think he's going to have a close fight, he ends up blowing the guy out.
Yeah.
I do think that Billy Joe Saunders, while I'm not ready to pick against Canelo here, I want to wait and see the weigh-ins and everything like that. But I'll tell you what, man, for me, Billy Joe Saunders, and Andres in the chat says he looks, BJS looks very motivated. He's in great shape. He's in great shape. He looks like he's ready to go. I think we could be looking at an upset here. Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know. I don't even know who I'm picking in this fight. I'm still on the fence here.
Yeah.
But if anybody has the style to do it, you know, this has given him problems in the past, this type of style. But, again, that was the past. Canelo is a full, complete fighter. How do you see this fight going?
But the big problem I see for Billy Joe is I think he's lost a little bit of a step, even though he's, you know, he's got great footwork, whatever. I think he's lost a little bit of speed to his footwork. I think he's just a little bit off with the reflexes. I think he's getting a little older. And I also don't think he's got enough power to get Canelo's respect where he's going to stop Canelo from coming forward. Canelo is just really tricky with those feints. He just always seems to find a way to get inside, cut that ring off. And he's really learned how to deal with these types of movers that, you know, he's had these types of fights before with Lara and Mayweather. And, you know, he's learned, and even Austin Trout, and he's just learned how to cut the ring off. He's learned how to, like I said, use the feints. He's learned how to move his head on the way in. He's just become so much more difficult to deal with. And I just have a hard time seeing Billy Joe Saunders be able to move the whole fight and not have to stand his ground at some point and try to get Canelo's respect. And when those moments do arise, that's where I think Canelo's going to shine, because Sugar Ray Leonard once said, he goes, you know, you can't move the whole fight. You have to, at some point, plant your feet, stand your ground, and you're going to have to fight the guy off. You're not going to be able to move the whole fight. No, it's just not humanly possible. No one has a gas tank like that.
No.
And Billy Joe's really, you know, he can try to grab Canelo, but is he strong enough to contain him up close? I just think it's a tough ask. Plus, he's going to be in Texas with all of those screaming fans for Canelo. I think the play here is to just pick the fight to go the distance. Or you could just pick the fight to go the distance, and you'll get a -115, almost even money. And that way, no matter who wins, as long as the fight goes the distance, you win the bet. So if you're, you know, if someone is on the fence, you know, I think Canelo's going to win. I would probably pick Canelo with the decision prop.
Yeah.
But another play I'd recommend is just betting. You could just bet the fight to go the distance at a -115. That way, regardless of what happens, as long as the fight goes the distance, which I think it will, because Callum Smith went the distance, I think Billy Joe Saunders is cagey enough where he can survive.
You're not knocking Billy Joe Saunders out.
I don't think he's going to knock Billy Joe Saunders out. So my recommendation here is just, you know, bet the fight to go the distance. I think Canelo's probably going to win this fight 7 rounds to 5, 8 rounds to 4, but one of the judges is going to have it 118 to 110. So
it doesn't matter. That's the other tricky thing. If you're thinking about it, man, it's going to be tough for Billy Joe to win a decision here in Texas.
I could see myself scoring this fight maybe 115 and 113, 116 and 112, but maybe a swing round here. But the fight's going to be 118 and 110, 117 and 111.
I was just about to say that. Like, so if you're scoring at home, if you score this fight at
home. I'm going to write my scores down right now.
If you score this fight at home and you got a 115, 113 for Billy Joe Saunders, trust me, Canelo's winning that fight, you know. He's not losing that fight in Texas.
Here's my scorecard.
Scorecard anyway.
I'm writing my scorecards down right now. 118 to 111, 118 to 110.
117 to 111.
and I'm gonna do 116 and 112. These are my scorecards right here.
Yeah.
Remember I said it. 117 and 111.
Yep.
118 and 110 and 116 and 112.
I think that's fair.
And my scorecard is gonna be 115 and 113. I'm just saying. I'm just guessing how I'm gonna score it. These are my predictions.
That's my prediction for the judges. Yeah. The one, you know.
117 and 111, 118 and 110, and 116 and 112. Those are the scores.
Do you think that Billy Joe Saunders is as good, that the last time Canelo saw this type of style, a style this good, this evasive, was against Mayweather? Not saying Billy Joe Saunders is Mayweather, but I'm saying this type of style where he's that elusive.
No, the thing with Billy Joe Saunders is he's like Lara, mostly legs.
Yes.
Not as much upper body movement.
Right.
So that's the difference.
A lot of people thought Lara beat him, though.
I had Lara beating him.
Right.
But I had it 115 and 113. You know what I mean? It was.
If you're going to bet, like I tell you, if you're going to bet on this fight, then bet
it going the distance. That's right.
I wouldn't pick either guy. I mean,
you can get almost even money that way. That way you're not going to be like freaking sweating it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a tough fight, man. That to me is one of the fights I've been waiting for all year. I've been waiting for that fight for a long time because I thought Billy Joe Saunders has the style to beat Canelo. He's got the style to beat Canelo. Whether he does or not, completely different animal. But he has the style. He has all the tools to beat this guy.
And here's another thing too. And this is horrible to say, but this is the harsh reality of the sport. He's probably saying to himself, "I'm going to Texas. The deck's going to be stacked against me already. I'm probably going to be down three rounds before the fight even starts." That may force him to kind of fight outside of himself a little bit, take more chances.
It might. But my guess is it won't. My guess is that they have a game plan, and they are going to stick to that game plan, and game plan will be Billy Joe Saunders boxing the way we've always seen him box. He's going to pull a Tyson Fury. He's going to box just like he normally boxes and try to win that decision. As hard as it may be and as uphill as it may be, and hopefully they win this in the – you know, if he doesn't get it on the cards, maybe he gets in the public opinion, and maybe it's enough for a rematch. We don't know.
I also agree with Claudia Monreal. I actually think Lara is a better fighter than Billy Joe Saunders.
Come on, stop it.
In my opinion.
No way.
I think he's a better fighter. I think he's more skilled.
So. Lara's more skilled? I don't think so, man. I don't know. I mean, they're both the same type of fighter, though.
No, I think Lara's a little more crafty.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think Lara's got a little bit more pop, put it that way.
I think he's got better upper body movement too. Like I think Lara's legs, but he has a little bit of upper body movement too. He's like always moving his head. Billy Joe Saunders, I don't know. I just
doesn't get hit.
The most impressed. Well, he got tagged a few times against Monroe. Like I had him the Willie Monroe fight. I had close 115 and 113. The Andy Lee fight I had razor close. Could have gone either way. He's been at Chris Eubank Jr. He just scraped by that fight.
Oh, I thought he smashed Chris Eubank Jr.
I had that fight tight, bro.
I didn't have that fight tight at all. I did. I thought that was a wide win.
A long time ago. You remember it? I mean, all right. I had it tight. Judges had it tight, too. I think he's been in. Now, the David Lemieux fight was his greatest performance. That was the best one.
That was the best one. That shot and he did this.
Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I don't know. In my opinion, I think Lara's a better fighter.
Yeah. I wouldn't sleep on Billy Joe, though. I know there's a lot of Canelo fans out there, man, but I would not sleep on Billy Joe Saunders in this fight, man. For sure, no.
Yeah, I think he's going to lose, but, an upset is not impossible. I'd be a fool to say that.
If Canelo goes in there and washes him, like whitewashes him, I mean, that guy.
But here's the thing, though.
Oh, no.
Let's look at the odds, but then let's also listen to the...
Yeah, what are the odds on this? Yeah, what are the odds on this?
Canelo's like a 4-1 favorite.
Wow.
Canelo Saunders odds. But now everyone's saying that this is going to be a competitive fight. I don't want to hear at the end, Billy Joe Saunders.
I told you he was a bum. You're a bum. He's a Euro bum. He's washed up.
Alvarez, Saunders.
see it go. Oh my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
What's that?
Alvarez is a minus 750 and Saunders is a plus 470.
Wow.
I don't know, man. Is it worth throwing $50 on Saunders for plus 470? I don't know. Fuck. Plus 470. Jesus. He's a huge favorite, Eric. Huge favorite. Yeah. Minus 700, plus 450.
Wow.
And then one side has him as a minus 750, and Saunders is a plus 470. So
that's a big – I tell you what, that's – you know, now – I mean –
He's almost a 5-1 favorite.
That's not
make
a bad play. I'm going to tell you what now. That's not a bad play on Saunders.
Yeah, if you want to hedge it, you can hedge it.
Yeah.
You can hedge it. You can bet the fight going the distance. And then just put a little tickle on Saunders to win.
Yeah. I wouldn't put much on Saunders to win, but I would. You could put money at those odds. Yeah, that's like Andre says, it's a 5-1. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So. Wow. Giving him no respect, son. All right, let's go to the news and rumors here. Beeb, I'm going to start it off with this one, man. This is a crazy one. So Felix Verdejo, his girlfriend is missing, all right? So his girlfriend went missing earlier this week. I think it was earlier this week or whenever. I don't know. It was pretty recent. I think it was this week. But that's when I heard about the story. So they have since found her body. They found her yesterday. She was so brutalized that the police had to use dental records to identify her. Felix Verdejo refused to speak to police under the advice of his attorney. I mean, he went down there but wouldn't answer any questions. He's a person of interest. I don't know that they haven't labeled him as a suspect, but he's a person of interest. Verdejo's girlfriend was pregnant with, from what her family claims, Verdejo's child. The police went to Verdejo's mom's house to impound his car, which was, Verdejo's car or his van or whatever it was – I guess somebody had seen her get in that or something. Anyway, that car was right there. So they impounded his car. They're looking for evidence. This is bad, dude. This reminds me a lot of the OJ thing. It really does, where you're start to see all these little links. Not a suspect yet, but, you know, don't do anything crazy like leave the country or anything like that. This isn't good, man. This isn't good for Verdejo, man. Not good at all. And they said that she was pregnant. Like I said, that she was pregnant. Her family is saying it was Verdejo's kid. The rumor is, and this is the rumor was that Verdejo wanted her to get an abortion. And I guess she was like his side chick because I believe he was married. I saw somebody in there say that his wife filed for divorce last week or something. I guess he was married. I guess she heard about this. And then, you know, I guess, but from what I was reading, one of the stories I was reading said, and again, this is all rumor and everything like that, so I don't know the facts. What I just told you was the facts. But the rumor I heard was that Verdejo was, she was pregnant with Verdejo's kid. Verdejo asked her to get an abortion. She wouldn't, and then all of a sudden she just, you know, disappeared. So, yeah, man, not good, man, not good. And I don't know the speculation from what I'm reading, again, speculation, was that Verdejo maybe hired somebody to do this, you know what I mean? And, yeah, JC in the chat saying that Verdejo threatened her before. Again, I don't know anything about that. I'm just telling you what I've read and everything like that. And, again, just like the OJ case, I'm sure when the facts come out and the facts are, like, laid out, you know, we're going to get a better picture and everything like that instead of a lot of, you know, innuendo and stuff like that. But yeah, this is when I saw this, and Top Rank actually put out a statement saying something to the effect of, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the girl and her family and stuff like that, and we've heard everything going on, and we're definitely going to keep an eye on it. So not good, man, not good.
Yeah, I can't even begin to comment on this. I don't know.
Awful. Just awful.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the evidence is. I just don't know.
Yeah, and somebody have related it to like the Edwin Valero situation and stuff like that. Again, we don't want to jump to too many conclusions here.
You're innocent until proven guilty, but there seems to be some
what you know, in Felix Verdejo's case, yeah, there's a fire in the kitchen. There's a bill collector at the door, son. So he's got some problems now. A lot of evidence pointing his way. So
there is a lot of evidence pointing his way.
Oh, just horrible. Horrible thing, like what, you know, people get pushed to, and you know what I mean? Like, there's always a way out, man. It doesn't have to be that way, but there's always a way out. There's always, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Horrible.
Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather is taking place on June 6th, which is a Sunday. This fight was originally scheduled to take place on June 5th, but that would have competed with the Triller card. What's crazy about this is that they're both going to be pay-per-views, so you're going to have a Triller pay-per-view on Saturday and then the Showtime pay-per-view on Sunday.
Dumbest thing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the Triller pay-per-view at least has Teofimo Lopez on it, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
This is going to be a miscalculation, I think, on Floyd Mayweather's part. And
yeah.
Showtime is going to back him up on it. But why? Like, are people going to really spend? And here's the thing: how much is it going to be?
Yeah, who knows? Probably $80.
If they
how much would
we
pay for
the
McGregor fight? Wasn't $100 for the McGregor fight?
Something like that. Now, if they decide to make this $80 and it's competing with Triller the previous day, like people are going to say, do I want to spend $50 to watch this Triller card or do I want to spend $80 to watch the other one, you know? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Lobito's Den Boxing says he asked a question. He says, Ryan, talking about Ryan Garcia here, has allegedly been partying. What do you think about that? Okay, so Ryan Garcia, let me give you a little background on this. So Ryan Garcia pulled out of his fight against – who was he fighting? Who was that guy he was fighting? I can't remember. But either way, he pulled out of the fight, okay? He pulled out of the fight, and then he's – you know, now he's been pretty open about his depression issues and stuff like that on the social media, that he has depression and everything like that. The problem is that he pulls out of this fight the next minute, the next day, his girlfriend is on Instagram making out with him, and then, like, they're showing you a picture. They're, like, on the beach. Javier Fortuna, thank you, Lobitos. Javier Fortuna was the guy he was supposed to fight. And so that was the thing, man. So he pulled out. Then his girlfriend on Instagram the next day shows them at a beach somewhere. It looked like somewhere tropical because it was, like, ice blue water, man. And he's making out with her, stuff like that. You know, they're hugging up on each other. It's not a good look. You know, listen, I don't – whatever he had to do for himself, and he said he pulled out due to, you know, he said he wanted to, you know, his well-being as well as his health and everything like that. Listen, I don't give you a bad – you know, but look, man, I mean, this is like calling into work sick and then going out to an amusement park later that afternoon or something like that. But and then claiming, you know, I was sick this morning, but now I feel a little bit better, and now I'm back.
And then making a video of it and sending it to your boss's Facebook.
You know, you got to know. And I know the kid's young. I get it, man. But you got to know. I mean, I don't care how old you are. I don't care. You know, I mean, you got to know that something, you know, that's not going to be a good look. So whether you meant to do it, whether you didn't mean to do it, whether he had depression or he felt anxiety about the fight or whatever. Listen, he had to feel something because he pulled out of the fight. He didn't – listen. I'll tell you like this. I don't believe that he just pulled out of the fight to go on a vacation. Okay? I don't believe that. I don't believe – I think he's definitely got more professionalism than that. I don't think he pulled out – I think he pulled out probably – I think he probably pulled out for the right reasons.
Like Rungvisai, same situation.
He's got girl problems, man. I told you right here on the show he has girl problems. He's got shit problems, son.
He's going through some depression, you know.
Got 99 problems, son.
He battled through it.
Yeah, you feel bad for him?
No, I said he battled through it. Rungvisai, he battled through it, man. I was in his corner. I was pulling for him.
You were setting him up on Tinder and everything like that. So we're going to get you some new ones here. Swipe right.
I was talking to him.
You're talking to him. What's the matter with you?
Tell him to keep his head up.
But again, man, I think he does have some kind of mental illness. I think he does have a depression issue and stuff like that. I don't think he did it on purpose. I just think it's a bad look. It's unfortunate that, you know, his girlfriend posted it. It's unfortunate that he let it go out like that. So he's got to be a little bit smarter, a little bit more savvy when it comes to that stuff. But at the end of the day, he pulled out of the fight, and I think it was a right. I think that was a right call for him. For whatever reason he had to pull out of that fight, I think it was a right call for him. I don't think that he just his girl wanted him to go on vacation, so he said screw the fight. I don't think that happened. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he could have. I mean, listen, man. I mean, let's be honest. That guy could have any chick he wants. So, you know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. It was just a bad look. Bad. It's just unfortunate. You know what I mean? So yeah. So Pacquiao and Crawford, that fight is dead in the water. Aram says the Pacquiao Crawford is a dead deal. This is interesting because this feeds into what Beeb has been saying for months now, and that's the Fury Joshua deal. Okay. So he said that the Crawford-Pacquiao deal is dead in the water because with COVID going on in the Middle East, that they're really starting to, like, crack down now where they weren't before. They're starting because it's starting to hit them over there, you know, a little bit harder than it should. So they're looking to crack down over there, and they've got to have a full crowd. They have to have the capacity to pay these guys, I guess, what they want, especially Pacquiao because he doesn't come cheap, you know. So – they said, "Hey, listen, man, we can't do it. We can't put the fight on." So, you know, I guess Terrence Crawford now goes. Bob Arum said he's talking to some people about Terrence Crawford as far as like who to fight next. Crawford just needs to leave Top Rank, is what it boils down to. Go to PBC. That's where all the welterweights are. But that being said, let's talk about the Fury fight now. Where is that supposed to be staged, Beeb?
What happened?
Middle East. It's supposed to be staged in the Middle East. That's what Eddie Hearn said. He said that's where the site was, the Middle East, blah, blah, blah. Not to mention, how many times in the Middle East have we heard a fight was going to take place in the Middle East because they have all this money over there and they don't come through with the money?
They still owe WWE money that from what I'm understanding.
Yeah, they don't pay. They don't pay it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that, you know, that coupled with the COVID thing, I don't know that fight will happen in the Middle East. That's a tough sell in the Middle East right now.
In India, they just had a big spike in India. So what do you think that's going to – how that's going to affect
– awful what's happening in India. My gosh.
How far is India from freaking Saudi Arabia?
Oh.
It's all close.
Is it?
Right?
I don't know.
Because Saudi Arabia is the middle of the Middle East.
Listen, it's Sunday. I'm just saying, I got an A in geography.
They're all close together, Eric.
All right. Well, if you say it, Beeb. I believe
I'm from
you.
The Middle East. I know what's going on.
You're from the Middle East.
I'm Lebanese, kid.
Just to be real, Lebanese, where were you born?
Well, I was born here, but I'm still have Lebanese. Still have Lebanese blood. Still have Lebanese blood.
That doesn't mean you're from the Middle East, though.
My heart's in the Middle East.
Not all. What's the matter with you? Get it together over there, huh? What's wrong with you?
From Boston.
All right, 516, New York. 516,
Jesse,
you're live.
Here. What's up, brother?
You got to wake up. When we go to you, you got to wake up. You can't
I know. You know, we've been calling you for 5 minutes now.
My bad. I'm at work
over
here.
You can't be half sleeping.
My phone came. You know what happened? My phone came off my charger. So, what's up, guys? How's everything?
That's wonderful. What's going on?
Big rap battle next week.
Yeah, man. Actually, this week on Thursday, can I promote it real quick if that's okay with you guys?
100%. 100%, baby.
Mohegan Sun this week, man. Mohegan Sun this week. Mohegan Sun this week, battle rap event that I'm throwing. Some of your favorite battle rappers are going to be there. I hope that Beeb comes in the building and – you know, if you follow Ringside Reporter, he might.
7 p.m. Eastern time,
Ringside,
baby.
9 p.m. Eastern. If you follow Ringside Reporter and you watch Battle Rap, then you could come. If you say Ringside Reporter, I'll give you your ticket free and plus another person. So,
now, when you say you're going to be at the Mohegan Sun, are you actually going to be in the building or in the parking lot rapping? I mean, how is this going to work?
No, inside the building. We rented out the comedy store there.
The comedy store in the Mohegan Sun, baby.
That's appropriate.
You're going to be 1,000 people strong in there.
Right now we're looking at 75.
What's the
overall
people that attend there, babe? 25?
Right now we're looking at 75, hoping for 100, 150. 150 comes, then that would be great. We have, like, some heavy battle rappers there. Danny Myers, who has over 1 million views. So just come through and support. You know, I'm a little bit stressing over the event. But I'm the day of the event, I'm just going to kick back and have
He's
a
promoter,
time.
Eric. He's promoting this event.
He's doing a great job. Mm.
He's a promoter of this event. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Mohegan Sun Comedy Store, baby. Comedy Store, Mohegan Sun, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, baby.
Give me 9 p.m.
Give me a rap here. I said, Eric, why you want to make me set it? Eric. Bro, you know fun of me. Why are you always trying to make fun of me? I said,
give us a rap.
Maybe it's because you got
no
skills.
Was that
his
rap? Was that what he's doing?
This is what
I'm asking. I don't know.
This is what I'm doing. So let me introduce you like I'm the first draft, like Patrick Ewing. Eric, why are you always so mad, bro? Is it because I got skills? Is it because Ringside Reporter isn't paying your bills? Is it because my battle rap views get more than your boxing show? Let me know. I don't know. See, that's a battle rap by this year.
He's killing you.
You see, I ask Eminem, he would come off like that, man, like that. But he came off with it pretty quick. He was
but
good.
Why are you comparing me to Eminem?
He's legit.
That's...
Yes, Eureka is legit,
like,
from head to toe. Listen to him flow. Eric, you don't know? Top-notch soldier. Kid, they should have told you.
Why,
you really need to pass the lunch.
Me to
this kid hits hard just like a Mike Tyson punch. This kid.
I think that was from your
you
stuff, Beeb. I think that was from your stuff, man. I've heard that before.
No.
I've heard that before. I've heard you say that
top
stuff
of the
before.
Dome. Top of the dome. Top of
top
the dome.
Top of the dome. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Top of the dome.
So, okay, so how does this whole thing work out now? Like, okay, so you get in there, and then you, so do you know who you're going to, like, I guess, I can't say fight, but, like, I guess rap against or whatever, or?
Yeah, it's like a boxing match, yeah.
Okay, so
you
guys
are
all set up and everything, right?
Yeah, you have an opponent, and you write for your opponent for a couple of months and stuff, and you set it up and stuff.
There it is. Jesse, give us a time and place one more time.
Mohegan Sun, 9 p.m. Eastern, this Thursday night, come say Ringside Reporter, you get one ticket and one ticket free. But hold on, can I say something about the match last night real quick, too?
Sure.
Areola surprised the hell out of me. A very entertaining fight and worth my pay-per-view money. And Areola, you lost, bro, but... No need to talk like that on your post-fight interviews, neither. That was unnecessary.
I agree. All right, Jesse. Yeah, everybody, if you guys don't know, man, go out and support Jesse at the Mohegan Sun on Saturday. Go check it out, man. It's a good show. Go get a free ticket, man. Go get a free ticket,
Mohegan
man.
Sun. Comedy store to Mohegan Sun, baby.
What else are you guys doing on Saturday night? You know what I mean?
We're rocking the house at Mohegan Sun. That's what we do. That's how we do it here.
The
East
Canelo
Coast.
Fight. That's what they're doing.
East Coast? No, don't worry about that. We
got that on DVR, man. Don't worry about that.
DVR that.
Yeah, seriously, man.
Jesse Reekin.
Go check him out.
Jesse Reekin keeps swelling. You want him to stop, but he just keeps going. Eric is a hater. Look at his face. You can't stand that Jackie Reason is blowing up this fucking place. Oh, I'm going down there, baby. I'm going to stop biting. I'm going to stop dropping lines, man.
Wow.
Reese Mack, I mean, I'm just going off the top. I mean, I think you should get the hater vaccine like Eric. You and Eric get the hater
the
vaccine.
Hater vaccine.
Reese Mack says I'm biting. He thinks I'm reciting. This kid's whack. Look at him. He looks like the back of my balls when I take a shit. And he's trying to tell me that I'm not legit?
I mean, I could just keep going right here. I could just keep freestyling.
Wow, that was real
Beast
special.
Mac, you're a faceless name. I'm at the top of my game. My style's
got a lot
insane.
Of fame.
My style's insane. I'm ripping people's backs out the frame.
Yeah.
I hit hard like thunder.
Yeah.
Your skills, I show them all. Suckers are watching in hysteria. Because Joe would be blocks through your area. I mean, I could just keep going. What do you want to do? I'll just destroy you, Reese Mac. I'll destroy you, Reese Mac. Reese Mac, what kind of name is that? You look like my ball sack. You look like a dribble on the nose, coming out my nose, like a snot. Look at you, kid.
I kind of fell flat, I got to be honest.
I know. So
and listen, they can't all be A's. They can't.
I don't
want to
keep going at him. I don't want to keep going at him. I don't want to keep going at him.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You don't hurt him. Yeah.
I'm working him over like a $3 hooker.
That doesn't
work.
I hit him so hard.
He's saying, damn, what the hell took me?
Yeah. Anyway, maybe you might not have want to quit your day job there. Leave the battle rap to Jesse Reakin.
Once I start pulling out the heavy artillery on this kid, forget about it. He'll go home crying.
That's it.
You may not come back in the chat.
Can't have that.
Reed Smack, look at you. You're sorry.
He can't think of anything else to go with sorry. All right, guys, on that note, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you next week.